Thank you. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. For our hymn of praise today, let's remain standing and turn to our hymn of honor, which is Go tell them. Testament reading of one just for the third Sunday in Advent is around the book of the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. Of Israel's Lord is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn to the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. I will save the land and gather the outcasts. I will change their shape into praise and renown in all the earth. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Darkness reaches St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? John was the go out into the wilderness to seek a reed hit by the wind. But then did you go out to see a man in soft clothing? All those who are dressed in slimy clothing and live in luxury are in kingdoms. But then did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, even more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, and my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than them. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. We've heard God's word, we've joined together to speak the words of faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed written on page 192. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, of God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Lord of the Virgin Mary, suffered. Are you excited? Christmas is coming, right? How many more days? Yeah, 10. Today's the 15th. Today's the 15th. December 25th. It's the big day. So, it's coming. It's coming fast. And I know this is a really exciting time of the year. Now, there's a lot to do. Sometimes it's hard for us to find peace at this time of year. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I wanted to actually ask you about this current church season that we're in. So there's a few things that are up here in the sanctuary that we don't normally see. Behind me, you guys can see the Christmas trees, right? There's these beautiful red lights, small lights that are suspended. So we have those up here, and those remind us of Christmas. But over there, there's something special for the Advent season. What does that look like? Greatest gift, the greatest present. words at the very end of the passage, verse 7. Those are the ones that I'm assuming are the most familiar to most of you here in this room, because you hear them in church all the time, or at least a close paraphrase of them. This is the verse that a lot of other pastors that I know use as sort of a final blessing at the end of each one of our sermons. We say the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Obviously, I know I meant to word it a little bit differently, and I have no idea if the pastors who came before me in Trinity who preached in this pulpit used that same blessing at the end of their sermons. But what I do know for sure is that this has been a long-standing tradition in the beloved congregations of our Lutheran Church in Series City for a long, long time. And the reason why I chose Divine Service Setting 3 as our liturgy for today is because this is the one where in your hymnal it actually has this all spelled out. So I don't know if you still have your hymnal handy or not. On page 192, it says it right after the sermon. It says, the pastor may say, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And there's the reference there, Philippians 4, verse 7. So it's right there. And there's no other divine service setting in our hymnal that has it spelled out that way. The reason for that is because Divine Service Setting 3 is the one that is the closest the old page 515 of the Lutheran hymnal of 1941, this one that was used in this congregation for many, many decades. And here, on page 22, it has the same thing. Under the sermon, it says, the sermon ended, the congregation shall rise, and the minister shall say, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts in mind. Christ. So if it's in the old Lutheran hymnal, it's got to be biblical, right? Now, I would say for at least the last 80 years, and I'm sure the tradition goes back a lot further than that, this has been a tradition in a lot of congregations, and a lot of pastors have used that blessing at the end of their sermons. So the question I now have for you is why? Why that verse? Out of all the other verses that could be chosen, out of all the blessings that we read in the scriptures in the New Testament, all the things that Paul says in his letters, which we could use as blessings, why is that the one? Philippians 4, verse 7, that gets used in the New Testament. I'll tell you what I used to think. Back before I was the sort of person who would be standing in a pulpit, before I was a pastor, back when I was in high school, and I was just sitting in the pews of my home church, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Perryville, Connecticut. Back in those days, when I was in high school for a few years, our congregation had a young pastor who had just recently graduated from the Fort Wayne Seminary. And they, for whatever reason, decided to send him to Connecticut of all places. His wife were excited. He was most especially excited about preaching. And so his preaching style was something that a lot of us had to get used to. It's not that it was bad. We would not say that his sermons were bad. You know, that's not what I mean to say. But it was different. It was a lot different than the pastor that had been there previously. This man was very, very full of energy, as you'd expect any recent graduate to be. He was extremely excited to be preaching God's word, and it showed outwardly. And the sanctuary is about half the size of this one, and so it was really, at least from my perspective, it was loud. When he would preach, it was loud, and it was intense. At least that's how I felt about it. And not only that, but he also liked to pepper his sermons with a lot of fancy theological jargon, which I know is something that we are all guilty of from time to time. I think that this is something that is especially potentially problematic with those who are new pastors coming out of person in my sinful case, that in those days, when I was listening to those sermons for 15 minutes every Sunday, I felt like I was being yelled at in a foreign language. And then, when it was all over, the pastor would mercifully say amen, and then he would continue with that blessing. God surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, well, that's good, because that sermon just surpassed all my understanding. And maybe you felt that way before too. After a sermon, or even just in a quiet devotional moment at home where it's just you and in your Bible, you come across things in God's Word that are troubling. Hard to understand. When that happens, you might experience, even just for a moment, a feeling of restlessness inside of you. The peacefulness that you normally feel when you're surrounded with God's Word can be taken away if you feel like you don't understand. There are a lot of things in God's Word that can confuse us simply because we don't have God's mind, right? We don't have perfect minds with perfect understanding. But believe me, I know from experience that sometimes us pastors don't make it easy. I was doing the math the other day, so last Wednesday was our 8th anniversary of my installation here in Wyoming. So I've been here officially for 8 years. So if you just do some simple math and you kind of figure that as far as Sunday mornings go, a little less than 50 sermons every year, right? Because I have a few Sundays that I have on vacation or whatever. And then you add some, you know, special services, so weddings, funerals, things like that. So all together, I've preached here about 500 times. 500 sermons. That's a lot of sermons. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of thoughts. I know that not all 500 sermons take part. I know that sometimes I've said things that are very confusing. I know that sometimes I'll say something that doesn't seem to make sense, or I'll use some illustration that makes you leave here feeling like, what in the world is he talking about? Why did we just talk about Dawn Power Worship for 10 minutes? I don't know. How does my experience happen? But I give thanks. We have a living and active God who uses His Holy Spirit to fill in those gaps for me, but also for you, for all of us together as the Eastern people. And that He gives us the type of peace that St. Paul is talking about in this passage. When we don't understand something fully, we still have faith that God is the one who knows what He's doing. And so it's really this gift of faith in Christ that can give us the peace that goes beyond all of our human limitations and weaknesses, our ability to communicate, our ability to understand. God's peace transcends all pain. And something I think that highlights this even more is when you consider the context of the words that Paul has given to us in this epistle reading. Know what the situation was when Paul sat down to write this letter to the Philippians, that he was a prisoner. He was getting toward the end of his life, the end of his ministry. The book of Acts teaches us that after the end of Paul's third missionary journey, he made his way to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, he was opposed very strongly by the Jewish religious leaders there. They didn't really like it that Paul was going around the entire world preaching that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. In fact, they didn't like it so much that they tried to have him killed. Paul famously appeals his case to Caesar directly in that moment. And so Paul ends up, long story short, having to make this very difficult journey to Rome. Once he makes it to Rome, history and tradition teaches us that Paul spent over 2 years under house arrest while he sat there waiting for Caesar to make a decision. imagine the anxiety that he must have had day in and day out, not knowing what was going to happen next? Always this looming possibility that Caesar was going to rule against him, and he was going to be sentenced to death. And yet, with all of that going on and all of the things that Paul doesn't understand, he writes in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. Verse 6, do not be anxious about Jesus. Are you kidding me? Do not be anxious about Jesus. Paul doesn't have a full understanding of what God's plan is for him. He doesn't know how God is going to be in this very difficult, awful, terrible situation to bring any good out of it whatsoever. Paul doesn't fully understand all of the moving parts, the political machine that's working against him in Jerusalem, in Rome. He doesn't understand any of it. And yet, the peace of God, which surpasses his understanding, guarded his mind, his heart, in Christ Jesus. And you can say a similar thing about John the Baptist. If you have the eyes of faith to be able, like Paul, like John the Baptist, to open your eyes and see the picture of peace in everything that he is doing in this world. You have the eyes of faith to see what we are all celebrating at this time of the year, the incarnation of our God, his child, Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. The way that he has cared for his church for the last 2,000 years. And you have the eyes of faith to see what Jesus has done for you personally in your own life, how he has baptized you, washed you clean of all of your sins, fed you with his own body and blood, and how he constantly delivers to you his promises through his word, preached by pastors just like yours truly, who don't always preach the way that you. Another servant in the kingdom. To him, and him alone, be the glory. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please sing. Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, as you once sent messengers before the face of Jesus to prepare his way, so strengthen and encourage pastors and church workers as they make known this saving gift. Open the ears of all who hear to rejoice, repent, and firmly believe in Christ. Bless the ministries of our mission partners, including your sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Edgeville, the TSJ Lutheran School, and their pastor, David Beck. Lord, in your mercy. O God, giver of all good gifts, look upon the households of your people, be with all those among us who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Paige, Wickham, Janet, Amy, Luella, over them, and you give them your grace and favor in this next year to come. Strengthen the bonds of marriage among us, and rejoice to those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, including John and Mary Seifert, Ron and Deb Holly, and Eric and Casey Winnie. Equip all Christian parents to raise their children in love and faith. Grant that our home may be a place of joy, reasonableness, Lord, in mercy. Lord, you command us not to be anxious, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving to make our requests known to you. Give wisdom, health, and success to the authorities who govern us and those newly elected. Give earthly peace in our time, even as your gospel is eternally the peace that passes all understanding. Extend that peace also to those who serve in the military, including Michael, Andrew, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Fort, Joyce, Daniel, Stephen, and Tom. are on our congregation services, including those who are in care facilities, Richard, Greta, Julia, Janice, Julie, Charles, and Betty. We lift to God before your throne to see your every such recent surgery. We also ask you to be with her down, and because she is currently hospitalized, bless her doctors to be able to determine the next best treatment. And also, Lord, we lift before you those with unclean health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Don, Julie, Louis, Harvey, Amy, Ronnie, Francie, Tina, Christy, Brett, Jeff, Nancy, Virgil, Laverne, Kevin, and all those who are facing cancer. We also lift all of the Lord, especially the family and friends of Linda Brett. Remind them of the joy of the resurrection and give them the peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus, the Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. I'm closing in today's 353. Jesus came to the heavens. are getting into the home stretch. Here's that.